Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Welcome to church. You guys are literally the committed ones, you know. Actually, the 9 a.m., they were the committed ones. But you guys are the frozen chosen, and it's just awesome to be here. Just so fun being at the West Campus this morning and then back over to the East and just seeing just the heart, the welcome, the warmth, the culture that you guys have, a kingdom culture, one that really accepts people and receives them and tells them about the good news of Jesus. What an honor to be here on this platform and be asked by your pastors. Thank you, Sam and Jess, for the honor of being here. Georgie and I count you guys as friends, and we talk a lot on the phone when we can and just share wisdom and encouragement. Church planning and church leadership can be lonely, so it's just awesome to have friends not too far from New York. Only 1 hour flight. I can't believe you guys haven't visited us yet. It's so close. I could probably run a location up here with you guys, you know, so... But just so good to be here. Thank you for turning on the weather for me. It's just awesome. The last time I was here at C3 Toronto was actually, you weren't even a year old. And it was the first Sunday in January, and it was also snowing. So if I do get invited back, just make sure you tell Sam to invite me at another time of year. That'd be great. I've been in Australia for a few weeks visiting family there. And so you couldn't get a more extreme shock from, you know, 30 plus degrees Celsius weather to whatever it is, minus 13. So yeah, pray for me. It's tough. But my family, I've got a photo here. My beautiful wife of 15 years. We just celebrated 15 years. It's my wife, Georgie, and my two sons, Brooks, who's 6, and Zeph, who's 3. And then the next photo is us because we love each other. We're cuddling and just having fun. And then the next photo is reality, and the other photos are Instagram worthy, and then this is my real life. Zeph scratching Brooks in the eye during Christmas photos, and so that's my perfect family. We're all jet lagged, so Georgie just texted me and said that Brooks, the eldest, who's crying there, he has been waking up at midnight, and he's still up from midnight. Now, what time is it now? Past 12. So who knows? He's going to crash. And then Zeph's kind of sleeping between 12 and 6. So Georgie's texting me saying, I'm exhausted. I said, I'm not. I slept in a hotel room. It was awesome. Ministry's tough. I actually did it just to escape the jet lag days, you know? No, I didn't. I didn't know about that. I didn't know the timing. Anyway, it's great to be here with you. We're so honored to serve in New York City at C3 NYC, and it's just so good also to have Frankie and Jenny here. I know Sam mentioned them before, but they were part of the original group here that started the church, but then they've moved back to New York City and just been a blessing to us. So it's so awesome that you guys flew up here to be with me. So thank you. You guys are the best, and just become such close friends building a church in New York City. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 26. I want to share a story and a passage out of Scripture about Isaac, who's Abraham's son. And I don't know about you, but 2018 was a year of great, great blessing in many ways. But then I think we have to all acknowledge, at least this is for myself and also for many people in our church, so many things we could thank God for, obviously, from a blessing point of view. Who knows, we're meant to rejoice and thank God even in trials and difficult moments. But we have to acknowledge that 2018 brought some challenges, that there was some dirt in amongst the blessing. And I went searching for a passage to help me understand what 2018 was about so that I could enter into 2019 maybe with some some freedom, not carrying baggage from the old year, but entering into this new year with some clarity and some freedom. Because it's so easy to enter into a new year or a new season and think that just because the calendar turned a page that magically it's going to be different. But who knows, there's nothing different about it. It's just that's a new year. But unless we shift some things, have some clarity, get some insight from the Word, ask Jesus to give us some wisdom for the new year, and also reflect back on 2018 and say, Lord, what did you teach me? What was I learning? What did you want me to learn so that 2019 could be a different kind of year? And I believe that the Christian walk is a life of faith. Who knows that today? That walking with Jesus is a life of faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. I wish it was by sight. If Jesus just appeared today on the platform with me, it'd just make it a whole lot easier. But we walk by faith, not by sight. It's by His Spirit that He moves, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit that He does things. And it brings Him even more glory that His people love Him and express their heart for Him by faith. And we live a life of faith. And so we know that through Romans 1:17 that we are justified by faith alone. So it's a life of faith. And we're going to look at Isaac's life here in just a minute. And wherever you see him digging a well, there's a story about digging wells. I want you to translate that and connect that to your own world, your own situation, your own context in the area of faith. I believe that faith is a lot like digging sometimes. It takes a bit of digging to really discover living water sometimes. Even though Jesus is a living water and he provides that for us, in your life you're going to find seasons where it just feels like you're digging to discover new things in him. In John 7, verse 37, before we jump into Genesis 26, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, anyone thirsty here, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, there's that word believe, faith. Whoever has faith in me, whoever trusts in me, whoever places their hope in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water. Not a swamp, not a cesspool, not a place of cynicism and doubt and critical spirit, but a place of living water. And not just a place of living water, but a river flows. And the Christian life is a life of outward flow, but it has to start within. You've got to discover living water in Christ and drink of him to discover this living water. There's got to be some wellsprings of life. There's going to be some wellsprings of water if we're truly going to impact Toronto, if we're truly going to impact our family, our marriage, our kids, our workplace, wherever God has called us, whatever season or context you're in, we're going to need some living water flowing out of our life, or else it's just a bunch of dry doctrine and dry thoughts and philosophical ideas. It has to be living water flowing out of our life. And that's why I love that you guys are doing prayer and fasting. Because prayer sometimes feels like work. It feels like digging. Who knows at 5 a.m. when you're driving to the 6 a.m. prayer meeting tomorrow morning, because I know you're all going to be there by faith. That's a prophecy right now. That it will feel like, why am I doing this? What is the point? I thought it was all about grace, Jesus, and the bed feels like grace. But who knows that grace is not the permission to do whatever you want, but empowerment to do what God has called you to do. It's empowerment to go beyond what seems like your energy level. Paul said it this way, I strive with all my energy to enter that place of rest. So there is striving in the Christian life, but it's to enter a place of shalom. So all my effort is to enter a place where I'm not striving, where I'm doing it by the rhythm of his grace, the unforced rhythms of his grace. But you've got to get past some dirt. You got to get past some selfishness. You got to get past some pride and some context and some situations, some circumstance, some doubt, some fear, some debt, some issues in relationships, some offense, some unforgiveness. There's going to be dirt in your Christian walk, but you got to keep digging in order to find that living water. And we see this here in Genesis 26, it says in verse 12, when Isaac planted his crops that year, He harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. Now, that's amazing. And at first glance, you think, yeah, well, I'm not a farmer, so maybe 100 times seems normal. But no, a normal crop fold for that time would have been 20 to 30 times whatever he sowed. And this is an arid, dry culture, climate. And so for him to experience 100 times, he was in the land that was occupied by the Philistines, which were enemies and definitely a dangerous group of people in many ways for him. And yet, in that climate of opposition and dryness and arid land, Isaac was blessed. See, the Lord cannot bless what you do not sow. Everything that you hold on to cannot be blessed until you sow it. And let me just tell you, in 2019, it will look no different than any other year unless we understand the power of seed, time, and harvest. Unless we understand that everything God has given us is a seed. Your words are seeds. Your thoughts are seeds in your mind that will grow up into your mind and become a tree of either death or life. Your finances, it's not just an expense in and out thing. It's a seed principle. Your time is seed. Your efforts, your talent, your gifting, everything God has given you, all your faculties are seeds. So the question is, what kind of harvest do you want at the end of the year? Begin to sow. What are you sowing your time into? Sow less time into the mass consumption of entertainment. Sow less time into consuming and more into producing. If you've been fearful about creating, step out again and begin to create. Who cares what anyone thinks about what you create? You have to begin to sow and begin to build into that in order to reap something out of it. But Isaac understood this. He's in a place of opposition, a dry place. He unlocks a key. And he didn't expect 100 times. But God can do a lot when we just do the ordinary. My dad would always say, do the ordinary and let God take care of the extraordinary. So often in our day and age, everyone's looking for something extraordinary. But give me the person that's faithful with the ordinary and we can change the world. Do the basics well. I say to my staff and team in New York, if you do the basics more passionately than you did yesterday, you will have a blessed life. So often we're like, oh, isn't there something more than that? No, to pray the same prayer, to have the same liturgy, to look at the same scriptures, to go back into the basics and be passionate about pastoring someone or starting a connect group or showing up to church. These are things that seem repetitive, but if you do them with more passion than you did yesterday, you'll find that God brings a harvest in that area. And so he becomes very wealthy. Many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So what did the Philistines do? They filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father, Abraham. So the enemy will tolerate us until we're blessed. So often the opposition that comes to our life is because we see here in the next scripture, the king, he says, you've got to move out of this land because you become too powerful. So the king equates blessing as power. So you got to understand why you're blessed. You're blessed so you can be a blessing. God is giving you certain things, not so that you can just say, wow, I'm blessed. See, Isaac understood the more he was blessed, the more the people around him would flourish. If you truly have received a river of living water, you're not just receiving it to have your beautiful quiet time with the Lord. I love Jesus so much. But then we never reach out. We never help other people. We're not blessed just in our own. That's beautiful, but every move of God, every revival is always about the world. It was never about the four walls. If God wants to bless C3 Toronto, which he's doing it for the sake of the city. He's doing it for those that are not yet in this room. And so God wants to pour into your life because blessing will equal power. But Jesus shows us the format of power. The flow of power is always to give it up, is to always do it for the benefit of others. And so, but the Philistines, the enemy, representing the enemy in our life, that they didn't take away the blessing. They didn't go, hey, let's steal all his cattle. They went to the source. Have you noticed that the first thing that goes under fire is your faith? Because it's faith that connects you to living water. Your faith is the most important thing. You fight the good fight of faith because every time you believe, you're connecting to living water. You're digging a well. You're finding a place in God that you didn't have before. Doubt comes, fear comes, these different situations come into your life. But in that place, the enemy will fight your faith. He won't necessarily attack the blessing. Because if he traps you in the faith, if he traps and fills your well, he knows, like this enemy, the Philistines knew that the cattle would begin to die off, the herds would die off, the family would die off, the whole land would go dry. They didn't need to take any of that. They just needed to stop the well. And the herds and the cattle, they would be able to live for a while. But the harvest, the next crop wouldn't come. And there's this vicious cycle in our spiritual life that we let go of the most important thing, which is our faith. We stop attending church regularly because it becomes repetitive. But really, that's digging a well for that week. Every time you turn up on Sunday, you're digging a well to find living water that will sustain you for that week. See, that's the job of a shepherd and the job of all of us for this city. You're a shepherd of this city, is that it's a Psalm 23 kind of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he leads me beside still waters and leads me into green pastures. See, Sunday is about leading you to the Word of God and leading you beside a place of shalom, peace, a stillness. Why? So you learn to feed yourself. So then if you're feeding and you're in peace, now you can be a blessing to the city. It's hard to be a blessing if Christians are more stressed out in the world. Like, how was church on Sunday? What did you do on Sunday? Oh, I went to church. Oh, man, it was so stressful. I was serving. It's like, oh, man, okay, chill. So we got to understand that God is leading us to this place, and he wants us to understand the most important thing is you've got to keep digging. You've got to find a place of living water, but the enemy will try to fill those places because the blessing will dry up if the well isn't there. So he orders him. But Isaac is interesting because he doesn't fight for that well. Watch what it says in verse 17. So Isaac moved away. He did what the enemy told him to do. That's just amazing. The enemy comes into our life and fights us over a particular thing, and he just packs up, gets his tents, and settles down somewhere else. Verse 18, he reopens the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Fascinating. So he doesn't fight over the land. He doesn't even fight over the previous well. Why? Because Isaac understands, the land isn't the blessing. Not even that particular well is where I will die or fight for, because I will only fight for the water. And he understood, if I just dig somewhere else, I'm going to hit water. So here's the deal. If you find yourself in a trial in 2019, and who knows, there'll be some trials, this year will be a lot better if you already acknowledge that. Don't pretend. There'll be some more. If you acknowledge that up front, but know that whatever season, whatever climate, whatever circumstance, whatever context, whatever the enemy tries to do, wherever you are, dig a well. If you get demoted, dig a well. If you find yourself in a difficult place in your marriage, yet you're healthy right now, what did you do to get your marriage there before? You dug a well. So if it's tough, dig another well. Get back into the Word. Start praying together. Start believing. Step out in faith, and you will find living water. But because we've done it before, we get tired. Our flesh is weak, but our spirit is willing. And the repetition of doing it again, we think, oh, well, I prayed and fasted in January. That's good for the whole year. That's good, right? Like, we're good? No, that's a kickstarter to lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of fasting, a lifestyle of devotion in His Word. Because wherever you are, you can dig a well, amen? Wherever you are. I say to our church, you know, some of them grumble and complain about their commute, you know, on the L train, the subway, and it's packed, and someone's got smelly armpits, and you're under them, and you're like, oh, it's a big trial for them. I say to them, why don't you dig a well on the subway? Get your headphones on, listen to a podcast, get your Bible out. Like, wherever you are, dig a well. Start praying. Start seeing these people as people that you can reach versus someone you complain about. Wherever you are, you can find living water. Amen? So, this is what Isaac's doing. He's giving us the example. And I love this because he reopened the well of his fathers. Most of my Christian walk and discovering how to pray, discovering how to fast and read the word and follow Jesus has been just reopening a well that was already dug for me. What I mean is that the best way to get into living water is not by starting your own thing or starting to figure out how to do it by yourself. Follow someone else's model. Paul said it this way, imitate me as I imitate Christ. There's going to be someone in this church that's a little bit further along, that has dug a well before you. So follow their example. Get into a connect group. Get into community. Don't think we can do it all by ourselves in isolation. We're out there digging wells. And guess what? You'll get halfway through the well and think, am I doing this right? There's a lot of dirt here. I'm not seeing much water. You know, like, we're going to have all these questions going on. For me, it looked like my dad, when I was in my late teens, he said, I was going through a tough time in my faith. He said, I want you to come out each morning to this. It was a really tough prayer walk. It was at Palm Beach in Sydney. It was really, really tough. And but it was interesting. He said, I don't want you to pray next to me. I want you to just follow me and listen how I pray. And I watched him experience living water with the Holy Spirit. It was a well he'd already dug, but I began to benefit from a well he'd already dug. What did the disciples say? They're seeing miracles, signs and wonders, all sorts of crazy things through the life of Jesus. And what's their question? Teach me how to pray. They'd never seen a rabbi do these kind of miracles. So the smartest thing would be, how do I dig a well like you? If you see some power on someone's life, you'd be wise to come to Sam and Jess and say, hey, how do I dig a well? Or even just by example, like Paul was in prison, but still his example spoke through his letters and people were still being led even though there's distance. You may not be able to have a one-on-one time with a pastor, but neither did the Galatian church, neither did certain places. They had a letter and an example and a culture, a DNA, a well that was being dug in a prison cell. And they said, oh, if he can do it in prison, I can do it here. So there's a well that's actually easier to open up than you digging your own. It is difficult sometimes because there's some rocks and dust and dirt down it, but my guess would be that it's easier to open a well that's filled with rocks than it is to dig a whole new one. And so that's the best place to start. If you're feeling numb, if you're feeling like you don't experience his presence, get into a prayer meeting. That's why corporate prayer is powerful, because someone else's prayer life rubs off on you. You experience their well. You're like, whoa, how do they do it? And oh man, they're speaking in tongues and they're doing this. And all of a sudden you're discovering how someone else experiences Jesus and it helps your faith. But if we always think we know it better, man, you're going to be in a dry place. So reopen a well that's already dug. Amen. The next thing that's interesting is that Isaac, after he's reopened his father's, he actually does dig his own well. It says in verse 19, it says, Isaac's servants also dug in the Jerah Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. So they've been reopening ones of Abraham, but now I believe this speaks to our own identity in Christ. There comes a point in your faith, and there's different times in my life, where I couldn't just rest on the fact that I had a great mom and dad that followed Jesus. That I didn't just go to church because, oh, it's a generational thing we do, or, oh, it seems like a nice religious idea. There's got to come a point at which you're willing to spend some time in prayer and in the Word of God so that you dig a fresh well for yourself. If you need following up, which is totally fine, by the way, because we all do at different points, but if it's a consistent thing where you need following up to come to church, I would encourage you to discover your own living water. Because someone's following you up because they care enough that you would discover Jesus. But maybe it's time in 2019 to be someone that doesn't need following up to show up and actually be a part of the family, be a part of the church. You've got to do some digging. But if you're just, we've all lived there. So this is no judgment on any of us because we've all been there where we need someone to go, hey, wake up, let's go, let's live for Jesus. But there comes a point which you need your own sustaining living water in your life. You're not just drinking from someone else's life. You need your own walk with God. Is this challenging anyone? So this is interesting though. He discovers this first well and then shepherds show up and say, this is our water. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. But watch this. He didn't stay there. He didn't get down. He didn't even worry about it. He discovered something. All I need to do is move on and dig another well. He didn't lose heart over it. So often in our faith, we dig a place, it provides something, we lose it, and we feel like, oh, that's the end. And we lose all this time and our growth and our experience with God and what impact we can make. And meanwhile, time is passing by and these are precious moments where we could just dig another well and experience living water. But here Isaac shows us a spiritual key. He just moves on. He doesn't enter in. I want you to write this down. Don't get drawn into the enemy's fight. Don't fight on his terms. The way you fight is to believe. And sometimes believing looks like digging a well. I've experienced great opposition in New York, and there's been like these storms and situations and all this opposition to venues. We have 5 locations that we bump in and out of. We have 5 trucks that we bump in and out. There's 9 services on a Sunday. And who knows, in a city like New York City, there's going to be some opposition with venues and the enemy can't stand what we're doing in New York, seeing life and hope come into New Yorkers. And so there's going to be some opposition in your life. If you want to step out and actually achieve a dream and achieve a vision, there's going to be some opposition. And so as that opposition comes, there's been times where I thought, I've got to fight for this. Like I've dug this well. One time we started out this second location and I'd worked for 6 months to get this venue and we started the service and the place was filled. It was awesome. We're celebrating. And I announced to the church that night, hey, we'll be back here next week. We're so excited. We got this venue for 6 months. Everyone's cheering. It's so great. I walk out of that service and the venue guy comes to us and says, this isn't going to work. You're out. Not even next Sunday, you're out. And I just announced that this is the venue we're going to be in for 6 months. And I'm feeling humiliated and like I missed it. And as I walked away from that conversation, it was like this well moment. I felt like arguing in the flesh. I felt like I've got to battle it out with this guy. But I felt the Lord say, let it go. Did you see that the room was already filled? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I don't want you here. He allowed this to happen. And so we just went, okay, we can dig another well somewhere else. And sure enough, the Lord provided by the next Sunday. There's so many Sundays where we text people and say, oh, hey, we're not here, we're here. We're like, you know, the church you have to find sometimes. And but it's powerful because it doesn't matter about the building. Wherever the church is, we can dig a well together. It doesn't matter if you guys are in this venue for 10 years or I won't even say the time, that it could be shorter. Sam's like, no, I don't want to do any more negotiating with schools or principals. Or we love you. We love you guys. And no. And so, but the thing is, it doesn't matter where God takes us. It doesn't matter what job you're in or what's going on. Wherever you are, you can dig a well. Don't get hung up on things that you're missing out on, because the fact is you're not fighting for the land, you're not fighting for the well, you're fighting for the living water. Why? Because the water is your victory. Jesus is your victory. The living water is your victory. The next one, he just digs another well. This guy is persevering, man. He's like so consistent. But again, there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. Some more opposition. Felt like 2018, right, Frankie and Jenny? It's like, argument and then hostility and opposition against everything we were digging in our life. And yet, it's like, do we stop here? What do we do? No, we just dig another well. This time he abandons that one. And here's a word for someone in this place. Isaac moved on. There are some situations where it's not about you getting your way. It's about you just believing and digging another well. It's not about you winning an argument. You're never going to win someone to Christ by winning an argument. You're never going to actually build your marriage by winning an argument. You need to dig a well in your house. You need to dig a well in your marriage. It's living water that your wife needs, not more complaint or anger, not you being right. But she needs living water. Your husband needs living water. Your friends, they need living water flowing out of your life. So he just moves on and digs another well. But watch this. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. Everyone say open space. That's a miracle for New Yorker. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. It's so funny in Australia because my kids haven't really experienced the summer in Australia because Brooks was 5 months old when we moved to New York. And he's just having a blast, surfing, pool, open space. He's like, what's this green stuff? It's grass, son. He's only experienced AstroTurf. So, and it was just a blast. And so, but he came to me after like one beach day and he's just like, why do we live in New York? And I was like trying to explain to him like the call of God and like reaching a city. He's like, I don't get it. He's like, it doesn't make any sense. He's like, can't we just build a church in Australia? Like, what? One day you'll understand, son. So good. But he discovers an open space. I believe that in 2019, for some people here prophetically, you need to dig again. May have been some arguments, some opposition, some hostility. But if you don't stop digging, there is a place of open space. There is a well called open space where you can dream again and not have a fight over everything you do. The key is just don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. God is teaching us something in the digging. But here's the key. Here's the key. When you dig, don't think about the dirt. Focus on the water. When you're halfway down that tunnel, when you're halfway down, you're like, why am I doing this? Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Think about the water. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father, Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug another well. I find this one so powerful because he doesn't have opposition for the other well. He's already discovered an open space. He's been digging wells and finding opposition and different situations arising. And then just finally, he discovers a place of open space and no opposition. And he's just so loving it. He experiences God's voice. He's experiencing the promises of his father now being promised to him. What an amazing thing that the promise of Abraham is now being passed to Isaac. And we know that this is foreshadowing what Jesus would do for all of us, that we are now all sons of Abraham by faith. See, when you believe, you also inherit this promise that your descendants will be more than the stars. There'll be people that believe because you didn't stop digging, that you don't stop digging and when fear. Notice he says, do not be afraid. Why? Because when you get fearful, you stop digging. Like, oh, it's going to happen again. Oh, there's going to be more opposition. No, a person that is bold and courageous and filled with the Spirit of God never stops believing because they know that the promises of God are yes and amen for their life. But I love this. He's been digging and digging, but now he shifts into another gear and he builds. He builds an altar. See, friends, leaders, team, church, do not forget in the activity of believing, in serving, in building connect group, in prayer and fasting, in reading your Bible, you've got to stop and build an altar and worship God. You have to reorientate your life constantly to a place of worship, which is the why. I'm believing. But you can stop and miss the why of why I'm believing. Why am I believing? Because as I believe, I'm tapping into living water, which refreshes my soul, that cleanses me, that makes me more into the image of Jesus. And the more I'm looking like Jesus, the more I'm glorifying Him. But I've got to stop in the process, in the journey, and worship Jesus and say, this is all because of you. Wow, it's great that He's building a great church in New York. And yeah, I've been digging wells. But the dirt is nothing in comparison to the living water. I could never create the living water for New Yorkers. All I'm doing is I'm a well digger. I'm just digging wells with prayer for Sunday. I'm digging wells for a message. I'm digging wells for discipleship and dinner parties. And I'm just digging. But it can be so easy that we fixate on ourselves and our digging and make the digging more important than what Jesus is doing by His living water. And that's why worship must be the center of our life. God must be first in everything. Stop and build an altar before you dig another well. But this well He digs after the altar is fascinating to me because He doesn't really need to do it. And I believe there's some people here today and He wants you to dig another well, not because you need to, just because you want more of Jesus. Oh, well, I'm in my word. I'm praying and fasting. I love serving. I love the church. It's going good. See, so often we hear about the negatives of things, but a lot of people in this room, you're doing really well. But God's calling you to dig another well just because. Someone say, just because. Hey, why am I praying? Just because I love Jesus? Have you forgot in the work of digging the enjoyment of God? Like, have you forgot that reading the Word is not about just becoming more knowledgeable? It's more about relationship. Stop and enjoy God. Enjoy Him. Just dig another well because you want more of Him. You just need more of His living water in your life. You're in love with Him. It's interesting because the enemy start paying attention again. They just realize we cannot stop this guy from getting blessed. And I believe that for your life, that you can live a full and blessed life if you just keep your faith in Jesus. It's not a matter of when. A matter of whether it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when the blessing is going to come. If you stay in Jesus, you stay fixed on Him, I'm telling you, your life will be blessed. Your life will be blessed. I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about a whole blessing, relationally, spiritually, physically, that there can be peace in your life. And yes, there'll be trials. Yes, there'll be challenges. Yes, there'll be health problems. But guess what? The true blessing is that your life is centered on Jesus, that your faith is in Him, even to the grave, even facing death, you can live a blessed life. Why? Because you know that you're going to live forever in His presence, that there is a wellspring of life even beyond the grave. God is good. But anyway, these enemies show up, and I love this interaction. I just love how real the Bible is. Verse 27, Isaac says, "Why have you come here? You obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land." The enemies replied, "We can plainly see the Lord is with you, so we enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we've never troubled you." What? "You kicked me off my land. You filled my wells with dirt and rocks, and they have the guile to actually say I've never troubled you." Isn't it funny when someone comes back into your world and they're like, "Oh, there was no issue, right? Like we're fine." And you're like, no, you fill my life with dirt. I love Isaac's response, and I pray it would be ours. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." He's fascinating. He says, go the second mile to carry a Roman soldier's stuff. It was law to carry the first mile. But Jesus said, "I say this to you, go the second mile. Give the coat off your back. Stop for the injured man on the side of the road. But be the person that loves your enemies." It's easy to love people that you like. It's easy to welcome people in your connect group that you vibe with. Oh, yeah, we just vibe. They're just my, oh, yeah, I like the leather jacket, the cool look. And no, don't be that kind of person. Reach out to the person across the room. Walk across the room and connect with people that may seem like they could be very different to you. But not even that, even people that have hurt you, even people that have offended you. Let's be that kind of church. Let's be that kind of church that the cross is enough to even overcome offense. That we would dig a well in relationships. Why? Why, church? Isaac makes a covenant and he opens up his house and he pours out a feast for the people that kicked him off his land, that filled his wells. See, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers and dominions. See, if you had a disagreement last year with someone or someone close or whatever the situation is, maybe it's time to understand that even if they do it again, and I'm not talking about any kind of abuse or things that definitely there needs to be protection of. I'm talking about just regular relational stuff that we can so easily as believers get hung up on. And so easily just go, you know what? You're not welcome at my table. I'm not pouring out any kind of feast. Isaac's a weirdo. No. Be that kind of person that the church is an open place. That the whole point of the cross, the whole point that we're Christians is to forgive. That's what makes us shine as light and salt. We are so salty when we don't hold on to things but let go and forgive. Man, you build a well there. I love it because he discovered a key to life. Even if they do it to me again, I can just dig another well. Even if they tricked him, even if they deceived him and said, we got you. We're not even going to live up to the covenant. He had a covenant with someone greater. He had a covenant with a promise keeper. Not everyone's going to keep their promise. Not everyone's going to live up to your expectation. But there is one that will. His name is Jesus Christ. And every time you dig, every time you experience his living water, every time you keep going and you keep believing and you keep digging, it's his promise that you'll discover living water in Jesus' name. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes today? I believe that it's so important to respond to the preaching of the word. Maybe you've never been in a church service like this, or you're returning after some time away, or you're just looking to reconnect. You know that you need to have a relationship with Jesus. I would ask you to think about, in this moment of prayer, think about the state of your heart. Just like in John 7, where Jesus says, "All you who are thirsty, come to me and drink, and you'll find rivers of living water flowing out of your heart." The reason I say that is that usually our words locate the state of our heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your life is full of dryness and complaint, sour attitudes, just a mix of things that's not really life-giving and life-breathing into your relationships, into your own self, your own understanding of who you are, then today could be a great day to respond to Jesus and welcome living water. Welcome his amazing times of refreshing and peace into your world. Have a relationship with Jesus and discover who you are in him so that you might be someone that brings living water to other people, to a thirsty city. But if we're dry, it's difficult to offer other people something to drink. But as you say yes to Jesus today, either for the first time or maybe you need to come back. Just life's beat you up and you feel like, you know what? Life has just thrown rocks and dirt down my well and I don't have energy to dig again. Could I say today, this is a great moment where you don't need to necessarily dig. You just need to come and drink. And as you taste that water, you'll have the energy to dig for yourself during the week. So if that's you today, you just want to come and drink. You're thirsty. Your heart's dry. There's a need for reconnection with your Lord and Savior. There's a need to say yes to him. If that's you today, would you just simply lift your hand straight up and say, "Josh, that's me today." Awesome.